What's going on, Music Box fans? What does Dave Matthews Band, Judas Priest, Motorhead, Nine Inch Nails, Thin Lizzy, Notorious B.I.G., what do they all have in common? They are all nominees for the 2020 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We're going to talk about that this week on the Music Box. Stick around.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Music Box. I'm Jimmy, here with my brother Wade.
What's going on, my friends?
This week, the 2020 Rock Hall. The nominees have been announced for quite a while. The fan voting is well underway.
It is.
And this week, we're gonna talk about it. Well, or maybe we're just going to sit here.
Or maybe we should just have 40 minutes of silence.
Yes.
In honor of the Rock Hall nominees.
Of the fallen. did a little research just about how you come about being nominated for the class. There aren't a lot of really explicit guidelines as to what qualifies a band to be nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Before you dive headfirst into this, because I know you're so excited about it, let's thank the listeners first of all, let's get the proper things out of the way.
We have listeners.
We do.
This just in. Some of you people listen to this.
And I'm choking because I'm so excited.
Choking on my own spit.
Thank you guys very much for listening to the Music Box. A couple of announcements. We might have to change our name. Might have to change the name of the Music Box because I believe that is why. And actually, Jimmy brought this to my attention. That might be why Apple Music has not approved us to be on Apple Podcasts. Yeah. Because there is a Music Box podcast out there, and they were first, so we might have to change our name.
So it's nowhere near as good as us, though. I'm sure of it, even though I haven't listened.
Yeah, they have like 7-minute podcasts. I mean, wow. They're almost done by now.
They should rename theirs the 7-minute podcast. Let us have the Music Box.
Maybe we should just do 7-minute podcasts and make it 35 minutes.
Maybe we should name ours the 7-minute podcast and continue to do hour-long podcasts.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys. Thank you guys so very much for listening. Follow us on Twitter at the Music Box Pod.
Unless we have to change that too.
We'll have to change that too. But we just want to say thank you for listening.
So much.
Our most played podcast right now is our very first podcast. It's the Death of the Album. If you haven't listened to it, go back, listen to it. I hope you guys are listening to all these. I'm getting texts and emails and all kinds of tweets and things like that from people that are enjoying the podcast. So thank you very much.
And we just love the input, the interaction, because, you know, when we record this, it's Wade and I sitting in a room talking to a phone. And so the interaction really is, it's really, really appreciated.
Absolutely. So without further ado, the 2020 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees. My mind is kind of baffled, and I know you're going to talk about this in a second, but my mind is kind of baffled a little bit of of the nominees. We have a lot of people that wouldn't be considered. Let me get my statement out here. We have a lot of people that wouldn't be considered rock and roll.
Yeah.
That are being nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And so I tend to have this opinion about this. I have this thought. Oh my gosh, I'll have to edit that. Excuse me. I tend to have this opinion or this thought. Is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for rock and roll bands? Or is it for all of music? And so let's dig into that topic for just a second.
Let me say that on the official rockhall.com website, on the landing page, there's a quote there from Ice Cube during NWA's 2016 Rock Hall induction.
NWA Rock and Roll.
NWA in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He says, Ice Cube, the great philosopher, says...
War and peace!
said, rock and roll is not an instrument. Rock and roll is not even a style of music. Rock and roll is a spirit. It's been going on since the blues, jazz, bebop, soul, R&B, rock and roll, heavy metal, punk rock, and yes, hip hop. And what connects us all is that spirit. Rock and roll is not conforming to the people who came before you, but creating your own path in music and in life.
So, okay, Mr. Ice Cube. I agree with you, sort of, but it's not rock and roll. So here's my conundrum of our podcast this week. We have a lot of people who've been nominated, and Jimmy, we haven't talked about this, but a lot of them are not rock and roll.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's my first question. We have a lot we can talk about. We didn't have any idea that this was going to happen, but we have a lot we can talk about. Here's my question. Should there be a Hall of Fame that is the Musical Entertainer Hall of Fame? Or if you go that route, do you have to do a Blues Hall of Fame? Do you have to do a R&B Hall of Fame? Are they trying to encompass everybody into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Are they saying that rock and roll is the influence of everyone?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. You know, honestly, I don't know. You know, I don't know what the founders' ideals were for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I know that within the Hall of Fame itself, even, there are different categories. So every year they induct people who are songwriters or producers and people that aren't necessarily household names but have influenced music, right?
Yeah.
Music in general. And I think probably what the voters for the Rock Hall want to find are people that are influencers, people who, you know, that move the needle from the status quo to another thing, right? I think that's probably the idea behind some of the nominees that aren't necessarily, you know, jangly Fender guitars and, you know, loud vocals. You know what I mean?
Sure. 1986 comes along and the first inductees of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame come out, and the first person is Elvis Presley.
Right. Okay.
Elvis Presley, the first person nominated to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Right. In the 50s, like, if you were listening to Elvis in the 50s when he came out, for lack of a better term, and I think I can say this on our podcast, you were going to hell.
Yeah.
Like, you were listening to bad music.
Yeah, and I feel like we've talked about this on here before. It was dirty.
It was dirty. It was weird. He was shaking his butt. He was shaking his hips. He was moving. Yep. He had all this stuff going on. But he was an influencer in the start of rock and roll. If there was no Elvis, there was...
Right.
My goodness, there was not
a
ton of people that were influencers.
And with Elvis, it wasn't only his hips. It wasn't only his music. It was this look. Do you know what I mean? He had his collar popped. He had his shirt unbuttoned. He was
high on drugs.
He was a good-looking dude.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he was okay with that. You know, it wasn't... They didn't clean him up and put him in a suit with a tie like everybody before him had been. You know?
Very true. Very true.
So, I mean, to me, Elvis being the first inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is absolutely the right choice.
Sure.
On every level, but on whatever scale you're going to measure Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees on, he's the king of rock and roll.
Sure.
Right.
I agree with you. But then on the same ballot, you had Little Richard.
Yeah.
You had James Brown. You had all of these blues and soul and funk and these artists that were influenced by Elvis.
Right.
That were taking music to a different level. But also, and then the Rock Hall started these thoughts of who influenced the rockers.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is where things get watery.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't stick with the rock and roll theme. It goes to the people who influenced Elvis. And yeah. then it goes to the influencers of the rock and roll artists.
Yeah.
That the rock and roll artists changed the game, but they were influenced by this person and this person and this person and this person. And so, one of my biggest pet peeves with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is the fact that it's called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah. Now, if we were sitting here talking about the Music Entertainer Hall of Fame or the
Influential Music Hall of Fame,
my gosh, the possibilities are endless. Right. But the cap on this thing is the fact, is it rock and roll? Because you're calling it the Rock and Roll. I would love to go to Canton, Ohio. I would love to see it.
Go see that. Yeah.
Or is it Cleveland? It's Cleveland. It's Cleveland.
Yeah, Canton's the Baseball Hall of Fame.
It is, yes. Yeah. And also the NFL, right?
Is it? It's the Football Hall of Fame. It's the NFL Football Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Canton. Cleveland, Ohio, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'd love to see it. There is a lot of controversy surrounding this topic that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Before we even get into the inductees and talking about what we think about the inductees this year, in 2016, Skid Row was finally put in, right? And, which is weird to me.
Right.
Because they're like anti everything. Mm-hmm. But Skid Row was put in and they said, it's a joke. There's a bunch of people that have been inducted into the Hall of Fame that was like, this is a joke.
Yeah.
Because it's not rock and roll. There are lots of metal bands. There's a couple of metal.
Priest is nominated this year.
Yeah, Priest is in this year. And,
I guess Motorhead. I don't know.
I mean, my goodness, wouldn't Motorhead be like a shoe-in for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Here's
the thing with the idea that you can cleanly define rock and roll. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's sort of my problem with the argument that is this inductee, quote, rock and roll? Well, if Elvis is rock and roll, and I think we agree that for Elvis his time, is rock he and roll, was. Is Judas Priest still rock and roll? Because those two things are as unrelated as any two things can be.
Right.
Well, what Elvis did and what Judas Priest did are two completely different things.
So you have Elvis was rock and roll of his time. By that time, Judas Priest would be metal.
Yeah.
And now we evolve into, gosh, we go into the 80s and rock and roll is... Right.
Bon Jovi was inducted in Bon Jovi. Last class. Yeah.
And then you got the 90s. Who's in the 90s? We got Nirvana. That's rock and roll.
Yeah.
We got Soundgarden, who's on the ballot this year.
Yep.
Which is a shoe-in for me.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not talk about this year. Okay. Woo! Okay. But now, what they're calling rock and roll in 2019 is garbage, in my opinion.
Okay.
It's garbage.
Well, it's a dying... Rock and roll, as you define it, is a dying thing.
It's garbage.
Here's what I think is probably happening, and I'm gonna have a caveat to this.
Okay.
What I think is happening is that the powers that be at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are thinking that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is an old people's thing, right? Because rock and roll is far less popular than it's ever been since Elvis.
Yeah, if you guys don't know, the number one type of music in the world.
Yeah.
What is it, Jimmy?
It's hip-hop. Yeah, and it's not close.
It's not even close, brother.
That's not close.
No. But,
and so I think probably at its best intentions, the Rock Hall is trying to attract a younger audience because to stay relevant, to be relevant, right? Because, you know, our demographic are the people that have the money, right?
Mm.
But the 18 to 35-year-old demographic are the people that move the needle. They're the people that decide what's relevant, right? In a broader pop culture sense. What I fear is happening, this is my caveat to my statement that it's probably to wax younger, is that it's becoming more and more politically correct. In other words, if your politics agree with my politics, then I want to nominate you for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This is what's happened to the Grammys. This is why the Grammys mean nothing anymore.
Absolutely nothing.
Because the only thing the Grammys are promoting is a political
viewpoint. Some kind of agenda.
Yeah. And if that's where the Rock Hall's going, then, you know, then I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, but without getting too political, that's what I fear could be happening, is that if your worldview aligns with our worldview, and let's be honest, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominating committee is a very small group of people, and let me add, a very small group of like-minded people.
They have the same agenda.
Right.
They have the same agenda.
And that's the problem with the world at large, is that you have these tiny groups of like-minded people setting the agenda.
Truth.
And if great music and great musicians are being nominated, then that's fine. But if people begin to be nominated, not because they were influencers or because of a body of work over a period of time, and they're being nominated because this elite group that's been put together to nominate people agree with their worldview, then we have a different thing. Then it's a different animal altogether. Then the purity of the Rock Hall is gone to me. The integrity of it is shattered in every way.
I totally agree. I agree with you. This might be for a later topic, but why is rock and roll dead in the world right now?
I don't know, because it's a fairly recent development within the past, you know, decade and a half, perhaps. There's no doubt that
started dying in 99, I think.
Yeah.
Post-grunge.
Yeah.
Everything post-grunge, went to crap.
It just, and I think probably grunge had a bit to do with it, because it was so anti-rock and roll in its way. You know what I mean? Which needed to be done, because rock and roll in the mid to late 80s had become this sort of
spectacle.
This sort of Nashville-like machine where they were churning out more and more of the same thing. They all mm-hmm. looked the same. They all sounded more or less the same. You know what I mean? There were people, and I'm a fan of Bon Jovi. I think Bon Jovi should be in the Rock Hall. I think they did spin off a subgenre of music, for better or for worse. I think that early Bon Jovi made music with integrity, and music the way they felt like they should make music. You know what I mean? I think mm-hmm. it spun off into other things, you know? It became trying to keep the machine going at some point. But the music they made prior to that time was great music, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And there was great music from that 80s rock scene. And there was a lot of pretend music from the 80s rock scene. But I know that if I were a hip-hop person, I could say the same thing about hip-hop right now in 2019.
Yeah.
For every Kanye, do you know what I mean?
Kanye has the number one album in the world right now.
That's another entire podcast. But for every person in hip-hop that's making legitimate Kendrick Lamar, people that are making great art, there are 1,000 pretenders for every one of those.
Sure.
But I think that the people in what you and I would probably consider the rock genre that are making great music are few and far between, because it is no longer a commercially viable product for whatever reasons.
It's not what people are force-fed. And honestly, here's my 2 cents. Okay, here's my 2 cents. Actually, I'm going to give my second cent because I forgot my first cent. My second cent is the reason rock and roll is dead is because this generation is really lazy and they don't want to learn an instrument.
That's got something to do with it.
Yeah, they're really lazy. They don't want to practice. They don't want to suck at something for a while before they're really good. They don't want to hone their skill or their craft. They want to sit at a computer and they want to do it. They want to type it out. They want to have a beat that's already programmed and they want to try and make something that's catchy so it can go viral on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the generation that we live in.
Right.
Instant, like SoundCloud, Post Malone, Chance the Rapper stardom.
Yeah.
Like from nothing. Who's the dude? Gonna take my horse to Old Town Road. Junk. What was that?
Nobody remembers.
What was his name?
I don't know. Because it doesn't matter.
Oh my gosh, I can't even remember his name. But anyway, that's awesome. Listen to the Gold Town Road podcast, and we talked about that. Awesome. Nobody's talked about him since he was not number one anymore.
And it's over.
Point proven.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I hate to say I told you so.
But I think that's the reason that rock is dead. And there are people that are actually trying to do what we would call rock and roll or what you would call rock and roll, but they're only cheap imitations of a powerful original.
Yeah.
And there's nothing original that is coming
and
down the pipe.
And more or less everything runs its course that way. You know what I mean? And that's what makes an artist Hall of Fame worthy to me, is that they're the person that comes along at that time and moves things forward, moves things to a different place in a different direction. I have to tell you, just to kind of speak to your second cent point, that what you feel is a lot of the reason rock and roll is dead is because it's played by people on instruments. Tonight, before I came over here, I watched a documentary on Jeff Beck.
Really?
Yeah. And it's just, when you start thinking about this massively influential music of the 60s, then
I can't believe you're even talking about this.
There's this group of names that come to mind, right? You got Jeff Beck, you've got Clapton, you've got Jimmy Page, you've got, you know, just all of
the mamas and the papas.
You've got
the Birds, you
know, Steve Winwood,
the Yardbirds.
And it's like all of these people lived together. They were all in the same world. It was like Seattle in 1960. Listen, I'm watching this Jeff Beck documentary, and he's telling this story about how his sister, who was just younger than him or something, had met this guy. And she was like, you need to meet this guy. You guys like the same stuff. You guys are going to hit it off. So she takes him to this kid's house. And they sit down and just start talking about things. They both play guitar. The thing that connected them was that they had both built their own guitars. So they get together and they start talking to each other and nerding out. And they become best friends. Well, this is Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page at 13 and 15 sitting in Jimmy Page's bedroom talking about stuff.
They started
listening to this crazy music, and then they'd sit down and try to figure out how to play this crazy music.
Come on, kids.
Yeah.
Come on. And where is this at?
And that's what drives it, right? They heard a thing and they thought, well, how can I play that? How can I make that sound come out of this thing that's sitting on my lap? And they just, you know, it was two curious people that had some drive and some ambition and some talent feeding off each other. And that created Jimmy Page and Jeff Beck, two of the unarguably greatest guitar players of all time. And they were sitting in a room with each other as adolescents.
I'm telling you, don't you know that's the way that every great band that's already in the Rock Hall started. Okay?
Yeah.
What's one of the biggest bands that has ever been on the planet is Kiss. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Kiss fan. I'm not a big Kiss fan. I think it's very elementary music. Anyway, I think the costumes overrode the musicianship. But those, when you think about Gene Simmons and
Paul Stanley,
they were studio session musicians.
They are
before
high level musicians.
Oh, they're way better musicians than what their makeup than what they're says playing. They are.
Yeah.
And those guys met in a studio and said, "Hey, let's let this happen." And the most recent thing that I can think that came out of a moment that you're talking about is the Civil Wars.
Yeah.
Does everybody remember the Civil Wars? One of the greatest things to ever break up.
Yeah.
In the last decade.
Yeah, for okay? sure.
These two people went to the same conference where they were music writers conference or something like that, and they met and they started singing together. It's just a guitar and a male and a female. But if you don't know the Civil Wars, you are missing out.
So tragic that there is not more Civil Wars music.
Fantastic music.
YouTube them because there's so much great live
Civil Wars. But I'm telling you, that's the difference in the culture. Because back then, if those two people would have met in Hollywood in the canyon where all of those people were like feeding off each other and smoking weed, then those two people would have started a band like the Mamas and the Papas, or they would have started a band like the Birds, or they would have started a band.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Here we go. Yeah. And the world would have just been blown open by this new sound of music.
Right.
But now we don't have that.
Right.
We've lost.
Listen. And mark my words, it's coming, Wade.
God, I
because
hope
so. It's always come.
I hope so.
Right? It has never not happened since music started. Music today is not like music was when the first guy put a string on a gourd. You know what I mean? It's evolving. It's always changing. It's always growing. And listen, there are people alive in the world right now making music that no one's ever heard before. But what's going to happen is that eventually somebody somewhere is going to hear that and it's going to catch, right? And then you got something, right? Because it's happening right now. We're not hearing it today. We're not hearing it right this second, but we're going to. It's going to happen.
Well, eventually it does, because then you have things that pop out and kick you in the face.
Right.
Like Mumford & Sons a few years ago.
Yeah.
Bam, here's folk.
Yep.
This is awesome. And then you have...
But listen, Mumford & Sons spun out of that late 80s, early 90s acoustic rock thing. The Tesla Five-Man Acoustical Jam album.
Mm.
You know, all of those, you know, hard rock, heavy metal bands did acoustic stuff. And it caught on, right? For a while. And then it kind of fizzled out. But then Mumford & Son comes along and they're like, well, let's take this even farther back. Let's take this even more traditional. And, of course, he had that sort of Celtic, kind of upbringing too. And so he was heavily, you know, Marcus Mumford was heavily influenced by the traditional music, which is where hymns come from. He was influenced by that traditional Irish, you know, folk music.
Right.
And so he just kind of took this idea of an acoustic guitar and a rock and roll attitude.
And bluegrass.
And he took this kind of traditional, you know, he put a little traditional sauce in his mix. And then, boom, he became a thing.
Right.
You know, and that's what happens. And that...
It's organic. What's wrong with that?
And it's influential. And it's like Bob Dylan said that, you know, everybody steals. He stole some stuff. He put a little of his own sass to it. And pretty soon you got something that all of a sudden people are like, I love that. I haven't heard that before, and I want that. I want to hear it.
I think.
And then what you get is 100,000 Mumford & Sons.
And that's what we have now.
Because somebody bought it. You know what I mean? Somebody bought Mumford & Sons. Well, so welcome, what we need is more Mumford & Sons.
Welcome to the record business.
Yeah, that's the record business.
And we're going to find what sells. And
somebody eventually is going to figure out how to sell music again.
Yeah, I mean, we have this wannabe Led Zeppelin band that's so popular right now.
Right.
Makes me want to throw up. I'm not even going to mention their name here. So you guys, they are so big.
Yeah.
But they completely sound like Led Zeppelin and it makes me sick.
Well, they're not the first band that's ever sounded like Led Zeppelin.
Good luck.
Yeah. basically the entire hair metal industry was a Led Zeppelin copy.
Good luck, kids.
Yeah.
Not talking about that. We are 29 minutes and 30 seconds exactly into this podcast.
Here's what I want to talk about.
And we haven't talked about any of the inductees.
So I want to talk about one more thing before we get to the inductees.
Are we going
to
do that? Or are we just going to talk about...
No, we'll get to the inductees. I think we should. I think there's some rich soil there that we'll get to quickly. But the last thing I wanted to say, sort of leading up to that, is what is the sort of morality of there even being a thing like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? What's the legitimacy of a thing like that? Because at the end of the day, anytime you're talking about music and or any subjective sort of art form, which all art is subjective, who's to say who's better than who? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you measured it by musicianship, do you know what I mean? Like, is Hendrix a better guitar player than Stevie Ray Vaughan?
If
I don't know.
So if we went,
they didn't play the same song.
Right. If we went by musicianship this year, there's no doubt that Dave Matthews Band would be in the Rock Hall.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no doubt that Nine Inch Nails probably.
Right.
Dude, that guy is.
Well,
Trent Reznor is a beast when it comes to producing and.
Well, and he's the genesis of industrial music.
Yeah.
Period. He's in the beginning.
But Nine Inch Nails is not getting into the Rock Hall this year.
No.
Nope.
But they will. But, you know, the thing is like, it's like an award show in a way. It's kind of one step past that. But does an award show even make sense?
Right.
Like, you put five nominees up for best pop vocal performance by a female, right?
Yeah.
And you've got these five nominees. Well, who knows? It's not the same song five different times. How do we know who's better
or
who's best? Because it isn't best. It's who got the most votes.
Right.
It has nothing to do with best.
Right.
It's the same in anything that's subjected to a vote.
And the winner.
It's an opinion. Right. Even if it's a very educated opinion, it still comes down to the fact that some of us like really dirty guitar sounds, and some of us like, you know, the flute.
That's a great comparison.
You know what I mean?
And I get it.
And it's almost that same thing, you know what I mean? Because it's so hard to... Rock and roll is such a generalized term.
Sure.
And to say that, you know, I love the idea of Hall of Fame. I love the idea that there's this art form that brings people together from all walks of life through generations.
Right.
That you can go into a place like the Rock Hall and see Elvis, and you can go into a place like the Rock Hall and see Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
And
I like the fact that we're honoring people for the accomplishments that they did.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
To be even nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you have to release your album at least 25 years prior.
It has to be 25 years since your first commercial release.
Yeah. But to your point, the winners of those shows, the winners of those categories, doesn't change my personal opinion about whether I think that one should win or not.
Yeah.
I always think, oh, that was terrible.
Yeah.
That shouldn't have won. That doesn't change my opinion.
Right.
So the person that gets into the Rock Hall, I'm like, yeah, I still think this person's better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So is it really that big of a deal, or is it just that big of a deal for the bands? And as time has gone on, I think that the bands are saying, well, this is not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not that big of a deal.
If it gets to a point where it isn't a big deal, then what's the point?
Then what is the point? Honestly, it's to attract people to this place.
Right. At that point, you're just trying to sell tickets to a building.
Yep.
So I hope it doesn't come to that.
I don't either.
It's my sincere hope that it doesn't come to that.
I wish it was so prestigious.
Yeah.
I wish it was X amount of album sales, X amount of physical album sales, X amount of downloads, X amount of streams. But, which I don't want to do streams, but.
But anyway. Here's what I'm saying. Here's the thing, though, Wade. How much really immensely popular music? Let's take, for example, your favorite thing of all time.
Shut it.
By that standard, then Old Town Road should go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. By your standard that you just said.
Oh.
Because everybody bought it and streamed it. And it sold and sold and sold.
I take it back.
Just because it was sold doesn't mean it's good.
I take it back.
Just because people buy it.
I take it back.
People
buy it. I take it back.
All right. I'll stop making analogies.
I take you back.
Yeah.
I take it back.
So I'm saying it's, I mean, it has to be a broad topic. I mean, a broad spectrum of, you know, like officially it says that, I'm trying to find it here. To be eligible, artists, a group encompassing performers, composers, and or musicians become eligible for inclusion 25 years after the release of their first commercial recording, besides demonstrating unquestionable musical excellence and talent, inductees will have had a significant impact on the development, evolution, and preservation of rock and roll. That's okay. About as vague a standard as you can set.
Right. So here's my opinion. We didn't plan this. We had no idea where this was going. We did not realize that this would probably be an hour and a half podcast.
Right.
So here's my proposition to you on the fly. 36 minutes and 4 seconds in. We have prefaced the Rock Hall.
Yeah.
We have talked about our opinions of the Rock Hall. We've got almost 37 minutes into the podcast.
I like it. I like where you're going with this.
And
like
we have not talked about anybody that has been nominated. And I wonder if our listeners are like, would you get to it already? And actually, I'm going to segue into, you might have to stay tuned to next week when we talk about the actual inductees.
I love that idea.
Of the 2020 Rock Hall.
Yeah.
Because there was lots of opinions, way more to talk about than either of us even thought was possible.
Coming in, yeah.
We had no idea. And that is the joy of what Jimmy and I do. That's what happened. We were sitting at a place and I was like, we were talking about music. I'm like, we should just record this interaction between us because it's an outlet for us. So
it's so much easier when you're just sitting around and you have unlimited time.
Yeah. No kidding.
You're not stealing people's lives away from them for it.
And then you say something that I want to say something about.
Yeah, we just riff
roll,
off each other.
We roll off each other. So without further ado.
Stay tuned for the next episode.
Yeah, I hope you listen. Box. The next episode of the Music Box, we're actually going to talk about the 2020 inductees, which are Dave Matthews Band.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the inductees, it's the nominations.
The nominees.
We have the nominees for 2020 Rock Hall. So you can think about this for a week. Dave Matthews Band. Pat Benatar.
Mm-hmm.
Depeche Mode.
Yep.
The Doobie Brothers.
Yep.
Judas Priest.
Yep.
MC5.
Right.
Motorhead.
Yep.
Nine Inch Nails. Rufus featuring Chaka Khan. Todd Rundgren. Soundgarden. T-Rex. Thin Lizzy. Kraftwerk, The Notorious B.I.G., and Whitney Houston. Those are the nominees.
That's the nominees, yeah.
Those are who we will be talking about next week on the Music Box. So please stay tuned.
That's right.
I hope you listen. I hope you haven't been bored because we definitely didn't. I didn't think 40 minutes went by.
I didn't expect to get that fired up.
No, fire it up, baby.
Yeah.
So before we go, we got to throw new music at you. Jimmy, why don't you go first, man?
I'm going to go first, and I'm super excited about this.
Me too, because I don't know what it is.
I haven't looked up the tour dates yet, but guess who has a new album out?
Oh, my God. Please surprise me.
Grace Potter
has a new it's your last
album
person.
Out. Daylight is the title of the album. Listen, I'm like 6 tracks into it. And I am in love, as I've always been, with Grace Potter. And I cannot wait to see her coming soon to a theater near me.
So let me tell you a little bit about Grace Potter that I heard on Volume this week. She took a hiatus, man.
Yeah.
She stopped with the Nocturnals.
It's been a good while. Her last album was a solo album.
Yeah, she got sick of the limelight. She got sick of the rat race. And so maybe this album is actually going to be, like, authentic and
As far into it as I am, it's got this real kind of 60s vibe to it.
Almost like
the second track is almost a ripoff of Satisfaction. It's really an homage. So far, what I've heard of it really is that raw sort of energy and sound. But Grace's vocals are just incredible.
Man,
it's just as good as a person can sing.
I gotta listen to it.
Yeah.
Sweet. Thanks for that, man. My new music for the week that you guys need to check out is Alan Stone, a song called Brown Eyed Lover. He's got music that dates back to 2011. He's kind of unknown, but kind of big. Super, super awesome. Amazing. Alan Stone, Brown Eyed Lover. And what are you slapping your knee about over there, bro?
Grace Potter is going to be at Cane's on February 12th. I'll see you guys there.
Going
to that show.
Don't
make plans for me on February 12th because I'm going to see Grace Potter at Cane's.
Speaking of going, it is November the 4th. And in 14 days, Jimmy, myself, and my beautiful wife, Kimberly, will be watching Incubus. In Oklahoma City. And, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for it. So
can't wait.
That's a bucket list show for me.
Yeah.
For Incubus. They're on their tour for 20 years of Make Yourself. I think they're doing the entire album. The
entire album, front to back.
Woo! I can't wait. I actually got goosebumps. And
I cannot wait either.
You can attest to that.
I wish it wasn't still 14 days away.
No kidding. And 13 days from now, I will be 36 years old. And that's kind of sad.
Look at the little guy.
El little boy.
He's just a little guy.
Guys, thank you so much for watching. Maybe one day you can watch us. That would probably be more funny than listening to us.
That would be disturbing for all of you.
Thanks for listening to the Music Box Podcast. We appreciate you guys. Tweet us at the Music Box Pod.
Stick around for Rock Hall Part 2 on the next episode.
Rock Hall Part 2. We'll see you then.